Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Light of Truth radio broadcast with Michael Boldea.
All right, welcome to the program and thank you for joining us. This is the Light of Truth radio broadcast. I am your host, Michael Boldea. And although we are not live, we are very, very close to being live. It is Thursday, but I am recording this a few hours ahead of time. Let's just say if this program was a fish, it would still be jumping around in the boat after getting caught. So thank you for joining us. As always, it has been an interesting week. There wasn't much to talk about other than the fact that the mainstream media is now making up stories wholesale out of whole cloth. And one of them actually had to backtrack, retract, apologize, and, you know, do a mea culpa once he was threatened with a lawsuit. They're doing everything they can to keep this whole Russia thing afloat, alive, and whatnot. But it's dead. It's got no legs. There's no evidence. There's nothing there. So we're not going to dwell on it, because there's other things that happened as late as today, including the fact that apparently there was a 6.3 magnitude earthquake off the coast of Oregon. There's an article that I ran across that I want to read to you. We'll get into, because there have been prophetic utterances, there have been warnings, there have been dreams and visions regarding cataclysmic earthquakes within the landmass of these United States. But fear not, the people at OPB.org say even though thousands of tremors hit the Northwest, it's not necessarily a signal of the big one. So I'm not saying the big one is coming tomorrow, but what I am saying, what we must all be aware of, what we must all understand, is that inevitably, eventually, the big one is coming. Jesus forewarned in Matthew 24, when speaking of the last days, that there would be earthquakes in various places. I've gone over this in times past. What we need to extrapolate, what we need to understand, what we need to focus on isn't the fact that there will be earthquakes in various places, because there have always been earthquakes. And so when Jesus points out this fact, we're talking about intensity and frequency. There's a lot of things we tend to skim over. There's a lot of things we tend to overlook. There's a lot of things we tend not to meditate upon when we read the Word of God, and then we just shrug our shoulders and go, yeah, but that's always been happening. Well, but then why would Jesus put it in a prophetic time frame? Why would Jesus speak of it within the context of the last days? If earthquakes have always been, then why mention them anew? Well, again, extrapolating it, we understand that he was talking about frequency and intensity. God doesn't generalize. I was having this discussion with someone just yesterday. I hear a lot of prophetic words. I hear a lot of thus says the Lord's that are very general in nature. They could apply to you and to about a million other people. And these are tricks that some people use. These are ways that some people garner unwarranted respect as vessels of the Lord, if you will. And this is coming from someone who believes that the gifts are still for today. This is coming from someone who believes that God still speaks to his children and through his children. This is coming from someone who believes in prophecy. This is coming from someone who's received true prophecy that came to pass. But one of the first things we need to look at when discussing the prophetic, one of the first things we need to look at when we receive a word, because, man, I don't know about you. Maybe it's just the kind of stuff that I look up. Maybe it's just the kind of stuff that I search. But when I turn on Facebook I get 3,000 people wanting to give me a word of prophecy. Brother, let me prophesy to you. Well, are you prophesying or is the Lord prophesying through you? That's the first question. Second question, is it general or is it something that no one could know but God? Is it something specific? These are things that you can use to quickly ascertain, to discern, if you will, if something is of God or if something is from someone's belly. Look, I have no problems with words of encouragement as long as they're labeled words of encouragement. When you put the words, thus says the Lord, in front of a sentence, then whatever comes out of your mouth after those words better be from God. They better be from the unction of the Holy Spirit. Not what you think you ought to hear, not what you hope the person wants to hear. They better be a message from God. And whether it hurts, it stings, it encourages, as long as it's from God, hallelujah. But see, all right, I wasn't going to go down this rabbit trail because there's a lot of things I wanted to talk about. Look, apparently the DOJ found guilt in everything Comey did and still is unwilling to prosecute. There's just tons of stuff we need to talk about, including animals in heaven, by the way, because I knew it would happen, and it did. And we're going to contextualize Isaiah 11, and we're going to contextualize Isaiah 65, because, again, it's not me who is ignorant of the word, dear sir, whoever sent me that email. And by the way, Timmy@642.com, just be a man and give me your full name. How about them apples? As long as you can step up to me as an individual and not some faceless thing on the interwebs trying to get a rise, I'll respond in kind. But as long as you want to, you know, just exist under a veil of anonymity, it's not going to happen, sir. I will not engage you. I am so sorry. I'm not here to engage foolish people about foolish things. Again, we're going to get into that because Isaiah 11 doesn't talk about heaven. I'm sorry. Between us being here in heaven, there is a window of time. It's called a thousand-year reign. That is what Isaiah 11 is referring to when the lions and lambs will sit together. And again, it says lions and lambs, but how far back do we go? Are dinosaurs going to roam, in your opinion? What if you had 16 pet dogs throughout your life? Are all of them going to show up at your door wanting milk and honey? Come on, let's be reasonable. I understand there's a deep-seated love and affection for pets. I had a pet. The only pet I ever had, his name was Labouche. He was a giant shepherd dog who protected my brothers and I to just anybody that would step up to the gate that he smelled as wrong had to be a quick runner. Let's put it that way. I love that dog. He passed away a week before we were supposed to be kicked out of our country. So it's not as though I am indifferent towards the emotionality of pet having. But again, whether something is in the Bible or is not in the Bible has to be the plumb line. Whether something is written or something is not written has to be the metric by which we judge something. And so unless the word says that, you know, Skippy, your wiener dog, or, you know, Bart, your Labrador, are going to be licking your face when you get to heaven someday, let's not. It's a useless conversation to begin with. But again, when it speaks of animals, it's not speaking about heaven. It's speaking about the thousand-year reign. We can get into it if you want. It's past elementary. We're getting into, you know, deeper things, if you will, but I'm glad to discuss it if you feel it is relevant for discussion. But the one caveat is don't approach me from a point of anonymity. That's it. Don't be faceless. Be bold enough to stand behind your statement, make it, and say, all right, contradict me. And I will, biblically speaking, even if we were to assume that it's speaking about, you know, the lamb laying down with the lion. doesn't say anything about dogs. So where does it cut off? It doesn't say anything about pets. What if you had a pet pig and you happen to live in Kansas? Or, you know, I don't know, Tennessee or somewhere where people eat their pet pigs when they grow big enough. I've heard that too. That would be an awkward reunion, wouldn't it? You had bacon for 6 months, and then you see your pet pig face to face again. And that look of just, you know, accusation in its piggish eyes. But I'm going off on a tangent, and I don't want to, because there are things we need to discuss today. There's a lot of things we need to talk about. But let's get back to litmus tests for prophetic utterance and what we need to do in order to guard our hearts. Because there's this, and again, it's only happened within our generation, because the word says that a prophet is not welcome in his own country. That's again, something that the Word of God says. However, during the last 30, 40 years, we've started lifting up men who say they receive revelation. We've started looking to them as though they were something superhuman. They are not. They are mere servants like everyone else. If God gives something, that person's sole responsibility is to pass it along, not to profiteer from it, not to make a name and you know, have people from everywhere calling, do you have a word for me? You're also tempting the person. You know, we need to be wise in our walk. We need to understand that all that we need, we have in the Word already. And if God has a word for you, God will wake someone in the middle of the night. They will pick up the phone and go, hey, God just showed me something that he said to speak to you. And when that happens, when that occurs, I guarantee you that the message they will have isn't some general banality. It'll be something specific. It'll be something that will strike at your heart. It will be something where you get on your knees and you weep before God and you go, Lord, I hear you. Because there are far too many people, especially nowadays, especially with the advent of the internet where everybody can reach everybody else, there are far too many people taking advantage of the innocent sheep of God's flock. I'll put it nicely. But on the other side of the coin, if you will, there are also those who make it easy for them to be taken advantage of. They go in search of words. They go in search of utterance. They go in search of vision. And then when they hear something they don't like, they go to the next one and the next one and the next one. It's playing prophecy roulette until they hear one they like. No, look, we know what we're supposed to do. Do what you are meant to do until God says do something else. I don't have to go to work and every 3 minutes go, boss, am I doing it right? Boss, am I doing it right? I should know what I should be doing. I stocked shelves at Walmart on third shift. I knew exactly what I was supposed to do. You take the can, you put it up. You take the can, you put it up. Move on to the cereal aisle. You take the cereal, you put it up. And guess what? You put the Cap'n Crunch with the Cap'n Crunch, and you put, you know, what's that nasty cereal that people torture themselves into eating? Oh, the Grape Nuts. And you put the Grape Nuts with the Grape Nuts. I've never understood how people can eat Grape Nuts, honestly. Again, different tangent. But I didn't have to go to my boss every other minute and go, am I doing it right? The instruction was simple in and of itself, wasn't it? Take this stuff, put it on the shelf. When you're done, cut down the boxes, bring the boxes in the back, get some more boxes, repeat. Do that for 8 hours, go home exhausted for $7.25 an hour. So, God's instructions are likewise simple. God didn't complicate his word for a reason. It was so that all of us, no matter our IQ level, no matter our intelligent quotient, could understand. God expects me to be faithful, worship him, be holy, seek justice, love my neighbor as myself, preach the gospel. All right, am I doing these things? Nope, but I want something new to do. But you didn't do the first thing. Again, using my Walmart analogy, it would be like me taking, I don't know, 10 cartons of cereal, rolling it outside, then going back and going, all right, what now? Did you stop the ones you took outside? No, I didn't, but give me something else. But you didn't finish the first task. Do the first thing first, and then ask for a second thing. And then once you're done with the second thing, that's when you go on to the third thing. But it's because we don't want to stock shelves, spiritually speaking. It's because we don't want to mop floors. It's because we don't want to do the simple but necessary things. We want the managerial positions. We want to do the things that draws the eye, that draws the fanfare. Because you know what? Stocking shelves at 3 o'clock in the morning is a lowly, lowly task. Because even though people were still coming by, because it's a 24-hour store. And I know, I got the emails, thank you, for those that said I shouldn't shop at Walmart because it's evil. I was working there too. So that's a twofer for me, I guess. But, they'd show up at midnight, but rarely would you see someone show up at 3-4 o'clock in the morning. So it was you and a couple other guys who hadn't seen a dentist in a few decades, you know, missing all but one tooth in the front, because apparently that's the, you know, in thing now. And all you did was stock shelves. Great, great time to spend alone with God, to be honest, but it wasn't glamorous work. God needs laborers. He's not looking for prima donnas that want glamorous work. A laborer is someone who sweats. A laborer is someone who gets blisters. A laborer is someone who gets calluses. Blue collar or white collar? Everyone wants the white collar, but God needs the blue collar folk. I know. I'm off on a tangent of a tangent of a tangent. But I go where I need to. And I don't know who this is for, but I'm sure you will. Understand that your reward in heaven is not contingent on the level of glamour your work required or your work gave you while you were on earth. Your level of reward in heaven is exclusively based on whether you were obedient or not. Did you fulfill the tasks given you? Did you do your job? Because you know what? At the end of the shift, if I hadn't stocked any shelves and there was no ragu spaghetti sauce on the shelf, I'd get a talking to. I'm certain of it. It never happened because, again, very simple directions, very simple instructions. Do this. Be done with it. Get some more. Do it again. And if I would have stayed gainfully employed by Walmart Incorporated, I guarantee you that at some point, whether in a year, whether in 2 years, whether in 5 years, if I would have been faithful in that little that I was asked to do, someone would have noticed. If I would have done it with diligence, if I would have done it with self-respect, if I would have done it with a sense of propriety, I guarantee you someone would have taken note. And that's when they come and they say, hey, we want to promote you to junior manager or whatever it is they do. We're going to brainwash you with some videos for the next 6 months, and then you can wear a badge that says junior manager. I didn't work there that long. It's a long story. No, I didn't get fired. But I needed to do something like that in order to realize that I don't want to work for somebody else ever again. It really was a learning lesson. But there's a lot of people, especially now with the advent of Facebook and all these other things, that haven't put in the time to be seasoned, that haven't been matured, that haven't been put in the time to prove themselves in any way, fashion, or form, that want to jump to the front of the line and want international ministries and book deals and crusades in Nigeria or crusades in India. Apparently, that's the big thing now. The bigger the number of people, apparently, the more glamorous it is. Do the necessary thing. Do it faithfully. And in his time, God will promote you. But if we're constantly looking for a way out of doing the necessary thing, if we're constantly going from place to place, going on Facebook, yes, Lord, yes, give me a word, brother. And you know what? They're just, the Lord shall bless thee and be with thee and guide thee. The desires of your heart shall be fulfilled. Glory, glory. By the way, brother, I do have PayPal. And if the Lord so feels led for you to make a small donation, perhaps $50 US, for the word that I have just sowed into your life, my PayPal address is. Look, there are a lot of hucksters out there. There are a lot of people dealing deceptively out there. I love you enough to tell you the truth. I love you enough to point it out. Because when inevitably these prophetic words that are so general they could be for anyone don't go anywhere, the people who were given the prophetic words don't get angry at the individual. They don't get angry at Brother Hakim in Nigeria. They get angry at God. Now, hold up. Let's take a step back and analyze. Was it God who spoke to you? Well, you thought perhaps it was. But it was Hakim. And you were looking for direction that you shouldn't have been looking for in the first place. Because when God needs you somewhere else, guess what? He'll let you know. Until he lets you know, do that to which you were called. Simple as that. I've met a lot of people disillusioned with God because they were let down so many times by words they received from people. Just be careful. Be careful. Be careful. Have discernment. Give everything you hear a litmus test, including what you hear from me. Is it in harmony with the Bible? Is it specific enough for me to understand and realize that, yes, this is from God, unequivocally? Or is it some general pablum that somebody just spouted because they want to put the word prophet in front of their name? I don't know. Anyway, this is not what I was going to talk about today. I was going to veer down a completely different path, but here we are. Look, the Word of God tells us, not just the Word, but Jesus himself, that with the addition of earthquakes in various places, there will be false prophets and even false Christs. And the reason that I keep bringing this up once in a while, perhaps I should even do it more frequently, is because the Word tells us that they will not deceive few, but rather they will deceive many. A man who is deceived is a man who is blind. A blind man cannot discern the difference between light and dark. A blind man doesn't know when it's day or night. They see nothing. And the more people that are deceived today, the easier it will be for the enemy to begin persecuting the righteous. The easier it will be for the enemy to begin persecuting the church. Because those so-called Christians, those who name the name of Christ, who are blind because they were deceived, won't know how to discern what is happening. Look, the latest thing that I've been reading up on is this Equality Act. Doesn't it sound beautiful? Equality. What possible problem? What possible discontentment could you have with such a beautiful word, equality? And you have churches going, yeah, equality is beautiful. There's nothing wrong with equality. We're all equal in the eyes of God. Therefore, equality is beautiful. But when you start reading about what it is, it's not really equality. It gives government the ability to silence churches when they speak against sin. When you do away with all the layers, that's what it is. It's like calling the Happy Meal a Happy Meal, and when you open it up, it automatically triggers pepper spray into your eye. It sounds great, doesn't it? Would you like a Happy Meal? Oh, everybody wants to be happy. I'd love a Happy Meal. You crack it open, you get a shot of pepper spray in your face. Names are deceptive. And the other side has learned to use these deceptive tactics over and over again. What possible problem could you have with equality? Because it's not promoting equality? If you know, Janice, formerly Fester, comes into the church with a beard and a wig and a dress, and you say that this is sin because you offended Janice, formerly Fester, he can sue you as a church and get all your money. And then you may even go to jail if you don't apologize to Janice, formerly Fester. That's what's in the Equality Act. So again, because we are blind, because deception has blinded us to the reality of sin, because deception has blinded us to just how aggressive the devil is, there are churches going along with this, applauding it, praising it, promoting it, telling their people, their constituents, their members, you should call your congressman and insist that this passes. This is where we are. It's a scary time, and I don't use that term lightly. It is a scary time. And all of this hubbub and all of this anarchy and all of this chaos is taking place while things are relatively calm, while things are relatively peaceful, while people are relatively prosperous. Imagine, oh, imagine. I don't know, 8.7 hitting California, full-on Category 4 hitting Florida all in one weekend. Imagine how quickly things would escalate. Because right now, you know what? There's just a threat of a hurricane in Florida. And every store shelf is bare. That's it. People went, they got there, stores are bare, trucks aren't coming in. See, if I had a sponsor right now, it would be a good time for me to plug a bucket of potatoes au gratin, wouldn't it? But then that would be disingenuous of me, and you would know to turn away. I'm not plugging potatoes au gratin in a bucket. What I am plugging is learning to trust God. because eventually you'll run out of the potatoes au gratin. And you can't eat the bucket because it's very chewy. But if you trust God, he will make a way. He will provide. And if he tells you to buy potatoes au gratin, then do that. But don't go to God formulating a question to which you already established an answer in your heart. I think that's a good way of putting it. All right, I'm going to share something naughty. The other day, I was very tired. It had been a long day. Things had been going on. And there were a few dishes in the kitchen sink. And I knew that my wife was perhaps equally tired to me. And so, out of deference, I said, "Honey, would you like me to wash the dishes?" Now, I had already predetermined in my mind that if she said yes, I would put it off until the morning. Knowing full well that my wife, being sort of a borderline clean freak, she'd likely do the dishes before 9 p.m. So when we approach God having predetermined the answer we want to hear, or having predetermined what we want him to say to us and then ask a question, it's disingenuous. "Lord, should I prepare?" But you already determined that you will. You already dug a hole for your bunker. You already pre-ordered the new potatoes au gratin, now with bacon. So why go before God and go, "Lord, should I prepare?" You've already taken it upon yourself to do just that. If your query is honest, God will answer. Please understand that. If your query is honest, God will answer. If you knock, he will open. That's what the book says. That's the promise that we've been given. But let's face it. Honesty. It's a painful thing, isn't it? Especially when we have to be honest with ourselves. Most of the time when we go before God asking questions, we've already predetermined the answers, or predetermined the answers that we want to hear from them, from him. And then when we don't get the answer that we wanted, we get pouty. We start dragging our feet. We go to somebody else and go, "Hey, please inquire of the Lord for me. Shall I do this? The Lord said no." "All right, I guess next, on to the next one. Please inquire of the Lord for me. Shall I do this?" And eventually, again, God knows your intent. God knows your heart. God knows whether it's an honest question or a disingenuous one. And there was a king of Israel that kept going from individual to individual. "Shall we go to war?" "Sure, why not?" Eventually, fine. The answer was, "Do whatever you want." Look, you already know what you're supposed to be doing. Do that. Before you ask God for anything else, for any more responsibility, for a promotion, if you will, do what you know you're supposed to be doing first. And I can go on for the next 30-odd minutes with this, because it's layered and it's important. But we've got time, you know, unless there's a huge earthquake this weekend. But I got across what I needed to get across. And I know that there's more ground to be mined here. Perhaps next week we'll get into a whole hour of understanding our position vis-a-vis God, understanding who we are and who he is. Because I do believe a lot of people come before God with disrespect. They come before God thinking he's a magic genie. They come before God thinking he's got absolutely nothing else to do than you know, confirm to them that their pet beagle is going to be in heaven. And the reason we have this mindset is because we don't have a right understanding of who God is and who we are. But that is another topic for another time. I think I've hammered you enough, and if you're still here 35 minutes in, then God bless you. We got 25 minutes to go. But back to the thousands of tremors hitting the Northwest. And I'm going to tie this in with what we've been talking about for the last half hour. There are people currently living in California, currently living in Oregon, who are getting antsy. Some of them have already made up their mind to leave. It's uncomfortable. Look, I've lived through a major earthquake. It's uncomfortable feeling the ground give way beneath you. It's not something you look forward to. It's not something you want to experience more than once, if that. So there are people who have already predetermined that they are looking for an exit strategy. However, they'll still go inquire of the Lord. Shall I go? Unless he tells you, the answer is no. And if he wanted you to go, he would have told you himself. Don't pressure God into giving you the answer you want. Because most of the time, the way God works certain situations out, the way God solves certain problems, are counterintuitive to human reason and logic. I look at my life. I look at all the things that God has done in it and through it, and I scratch my head going, I never would have done it that way. But you know what? It wasn't up to me, was it? It wasn't up to me. It was up to God, and God chose to do it that way, and it worked out perfectly. So let's get back to this. Did you feel the ground move this week? Well, now I'm feeling the ground move because there's a train. Yes, we're still by the railroad tracks on the wrong side, but that's okay. Did you feel the ground move this week? Not likely, even though a wave of small tremors was spreading under people's feet in the coastal Pacific Northwest. Now, this article was written before they felt a 6.3 magnitude earthquake, and I get the distinct impression that they felt this one. The Pacific Northwest Seismic Network has detected more than 4,500, that is 4,500 tremors over the past 2 weeks deep beneath the Olympic Peninsula and southern Vancouver Island, and from another swarm stretching from Eugene to Siskiyou Mountains. It's a phenomenon called episodic tremor and slip or slow slip. Now, although humans can't feel it until the one this morning, seismologists have discovered this happens along Cascadia's tectonic plate. All right, I'm going to wait. The train's almost gone. There it is. Ah, oh, silence. You got to love it. I'm going to start recording these things at 3 a.m. And there will probably be a train going by at some point then too. Look, the earth is shaking. And it's happening more frequently. And I believe that soon we will see that it is happening with greater intensity. Because we are living the days of which Christ foretold. We are living the days of which the prophets of old foretold. We are living what has come to be coined the last days. And we need to live as such. We need to understand that during these last days, it will come to a point where healthy men's hearts will fail them, not for fear of what they see, but for fear of what is to come. So If you think a helping of potatoes au gratin will make you feel better, think again. We need to learn to trust implicitly in God. We need to learn to walk by faith and not by sight. And when we walk by faith, we will no longer inquire of God regarding things we already know we ought to be doing. We will no longer inquire of God whether we ought to be doing something, because we will learn that when He needs us to do something or wants us to do something or wants to send us to a place in order to keep us safe, He'll let us know. And it won't be too late, and it won't be too early. It'll be right on time. I understand having so many safety blankets, having built so many levers that are an illusion when it comes right down to it, but levers of safety. Well, you know, if this happens, then I'll do that, and if that happens, I'll do this. All of those things will be stripped away eventually. All of those things will come to naught eventually. Because the word tells us there will come a time when the just shall live by faith. And so the primary thing, the paramount thing, the thing that we should be focused on isn't so much building our reserve of baked beans, but building up our faith. If the just will live by faith, then I want as much faith as I can get. I don't want faith in half measure. I don't even want faith, the faith of a mustard seed. Again, misunderstood parable. I want all the faith I can get. And faith is something that we can acquire more of. The word says, build up your faith. Mature it, strengthen it. Faith is like a muscle. The more you engage it, the more it grows. And so when you have faith in God for the little things, your faith expands and you begin to trust Him for greater things. And when those greater things begin to materialize, your faith grows in you and you trust Him for even greater things. But if your faith is never exercised, if you've never had to trust God, then it remains small. It remains inert, if you will. So there's a downside to all this good living and prosperity. There's a downside to being able to call Domino's and have them deliver 10 pepperoni pizzas. There's a downside to having money in the bank and a car full of a tank full of gas. And the downside is that we don't exercise our faith as much as we ought. Look, learn to take steps of faith voluntarily before you're forced to take a leap of faith. Because the time is coming when the just will live by faith. And so if you have no faith, if you've never learned to take a step of faith, that leap will seem terrifying to you. If you've never taken a step, a leap is terrifying. And again, I'm down another rabbit trail. I apologize. So what happened in the news today? Because we got to get to something that was timely, so you believe me that this was recorded right before it was supposed to air. We have a parent-teacher meeting for my older daughter's new school, and I don't want to miss it because I want to peruse the curriculum. I want to know what my kids are being taught. Be proactive. That way you won't have to unlearn your children. Just, again, pro tip from a dad who understands the times that we're living in. But yes, we are going to go over the curriculum today to see that everything's on the up and up. You know, math, geography, history, important things. Not, you know, how homosexuals multiply. There you go. I'm not even going to get into that because it's dark and it's twisted. And it's something nobody wants to talk about because, again, it's uncomfortable. And it sheds light on the truth. And nobody wants truth anymore. The truth has become a pariah in God's own house. How do you think the world's going to handle it? But just to, you know, weaken your belief in equal justice under the law a smidge more. The Justice Department has concluded that former FBI director, none other than James Comey himself, did violate FBI policies in his handling of memos documenting private conversations with President Donald Trump. However, they're not going to press charges. They're not going to prosecute. You know, it was an oopsie. Everyone makes an oopsie once in a while. Look, there are people that go to prison. They did something at some point that they were ignorant of having done. There's a guy that went to prison because he was buying stocks for somebody else and it was illegal. Or some, who was it? The lady that likes to bake nice things. She went to prison for insider trading. It was a victimless crime. I forget her name. She went to prison. Former FBI Director James Comey violated FBI policies. Yet you know what? We're not going to press charges. We're not going to prosecute. You know, it's an oopsie. Well, this oopsie, as they like to call it, and they don't really call it that, I call it that, was an attempted coup of a sitting president. So I'm guessing it might have been a little more than just an oopsie. But see, the political class have done something very tricky, very untoward, very unseemly. They have built a mechanism by which to insulate themselves from prosecution. They have built a mechanism by which they have insulated themselves from justice. And if history teaches us anything, it's that when the average citizen sees that there is no equal justice under the law, their faith in their own government begins to erode. And eventually people have enough. Eventually, there's just that straw that breaks the camel's back. This is another straw. And if there's anything that gives me hope, it's that Mr. Comey is as ignorant in being self-aware as one Jussie Smollett was. Remember Jussie? I know, that story went away so quick. Anyhooty, to remind you, Jussie Smollett fabricated a hate crime against himself because he didn't feel that making $1 million an episode was fair wages for a man of his talents. Now, either through coercion or bribery, the state of Illinois dropped all charges against Jussie Smollett because what he did was basically perpetrate a hate crime fraud. But see, Jussie Smollett didn't have the self-awareness or presence of mind to just take the win and walk away. He didn't have the presence of mind to just shut up and realize he got very lucky. And so he had to appear before cameras and pontificate. He had to appear before cameras and still insist upon his innocence. And right now, Mr. Comey is pulling a Jesse Smollett. Because even though the DOJ report does not clear him by any stretch of the imagination, Mr. Comey is now demanding an apology despite the DOJ watchdog revealing he violated FBI policies. So I think perhaps, mayhaps, that Mr. Comey's big mouth will be his undoing. Former FBI Director James Comey demanded an apology following the Justice Department's Inspector General report revealing he did violate FBI policies. The DOJ Inspector General released a report on Comey's handling of the Russia probe, which ultimately found no evidence of collusion or conspiracy, and concluded he violated FBI policies by leaking 2017 memos from his conversation with President Trump. The report said Comey set a dangerous example and acknowledged his actions were rooted in achieving a personally desired outcome. However, Comey's own personal conception of what was necessary was not an appropriate basis for ignoring the policies and agreements governing the use of FBI records, the report states. So yes, this was an attempted coup. He violated FBI department policies. Why? Because he wanted an investigation to proceed. He wanted a special counsel to be appointed, even though everything has been fabricated in regards to the Russian collusion. And now, Mr. Comey is out there demanding an apology. And you know what? We're running out of hope, kids. Because we go from one thing to another. What was it? First, somebody needs to pay for the fake report, for the fake Russia collusion. Somebody needs to pay for an attempted coup on a sitting president of the United States. And one by one, they're being cleared. And Mr. Comey, again, having no presence of mind in regards to his shaky position, if you will, tweeted this morning. And to all those who've spent 2 years talking about me going to jail or being a liar and a leaker, ask yourselves why you still trust people who gave you bad info for so long, including the president. It wasn't bad info. You were found to have violated FBI policies. It's an indisputable fact that you leaked classified information and conversations you had with the president to trigger a special counsel. And the nation went through 2 years, 2 years of this nonsense when so much more progress could have been made. But everything was about Russians and the Russian collusion. Oh my, is this the day the shoe drops? Is this the day Trump is proven to be Putin's puppet? And they're still at it. So again, I'm hoping that Attorney General Barr sees what Comey is doing and does to Mr. Comey what the state of Illinois did to one Jesse Smollett. Because had he kept his big mouth shut, Jesse Smollett would have walked away from this. Now the record is being unsealed. There is a trial in the works. And if Jesse Smollett is proven to have manufactured a hate crime, which at this point is pretty much a slam dunk, he will see the inside of a prison cell. Let's hope the same for Mr. Comey. Because there's only so many blows that the rule of law can take. There's only so many blows that the psyche of the average American can take when it comes to the notion of equal justice under the law. We are not a monarchy. I'm sorry to break the news. We do not have a queen and a king who can do anything and who are above the law. We have elected officials, and these elected officials ought to be held accountable when they break the law. You have Congress having multi-million dollar slush funds to pay hush money to people they've aggressed sexually. We still haven't, to this day, 3 years in, because that's when the story came out, found out who exactly was paying the hush money. Who be the guilty party, say? Because I'd like to know where my tax dollars are going. I'd like to know which senator or congressman paid someone to keep quiet about their being depraved and perverted. Look, when government is no longer representing their constituents, when elected officials are no longer representing the people that elected them to office, it's only a matter of time before it goes sideways. There are so many things that could go wrong in an instant. And this whole thing just bottom falls out. And there's only one thing that we can do to make it go right. And that is repent. So we have no other recourse. Either we choose repentance and humble ourselves, or one of these multi shoes will drop. I don't know which first, but when the first domino falls, it will be followed by many others. And that, my dear friends, was today's program. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for understanding that, you know, we had to record a little early. Hopefully next week we will be live. If we're not, we will have a fresh recording for you. May God bless you. May God keep you. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your support. And Gino, if you've got anything to say, now is the time. God bless.
All right. Well, I thank you, Mike. Thank you. It was a great program. I want to direct us to Luke 21:11. And the Lord, then he told them, nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, famines, and pestilence in various places, along with fearful sights, great signs from heaven. Before all this, they'll seize you and persecute you on account of my name. They will deliver you to the synagogues, prisons, and bring you before kings and governors. And so earthquakes, pestilence, famine. And we see our world in upheaval with the weather, the earthquakes, not only along Oregon, but California had one a month ago. And God said in his word, these things will happen. And our ministry as well, under our dreams and visions. I know Mike had a dream of a powerful earthquake in California, and it's called a great earthquake coming February 3rd, 2006. And if you get a chance, please go to our website at handofhelp.com and check out this earthquake dream that Mike had. Very powerful, relevant, and again, we are going to be putting another new thing on YouTube called Daily Truth, and ultimately in a few weeks we'll be recording video and audio of Mike doing a Daily Truth episode as well. So please check out the handofhelp.com YouTube site. Thank you so much for listening to The Light of Truth.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast, The Light of Truth with Michael Baldea. If you would like to order a copy of today's broadcast, please visit our website, at handofhelp.com. If you have questions about our ministry, you can email us at handofhelpoffice@aol.com or simply call us at 920-206-9910. God bless you. They are all